The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
To Sevtim, the parsha of this week, we have a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah leisasa, a negative commandment, which one would think would be from the, what perhaps one would refer to as the minor mitzvahs, the so-called smaller mitzvahs, because it's not talked about too much and we do not attribute too much importance to it. But aside from the fact that we're not supposed to rank mitzvahs as far as their importance or inimportance, it's a mitzvah which has very, very deep-seated principles, which we will try to explain this evening. But firstly, the mitzvah itself, this is in Pasuk Yutes at the end of the parsha, Ki Soso al Ir Yomim Ramin, that when you will siege a city, speaking about Klal Yisrael going to war against various nations, and when you will place a siege around the city for a long time, Lihilochim Aleo Lesofso. Leisashkises Eitzo, you shall not destroy the trees. Lindeach Olav Garson, chop them down. Ki mimenu seichal ve'eise leisichreis, because you eat from these trees. I'm speaking about trees which bear fruit, and therefore you shall not cut them down. Ki odem eitz asod elavei miponecha b'motzor, because the war is not against the trees, and therefore you shall not make a war or destruction against the environment. The trees that you know that do not bear fruit also sashkis v'koroto. So these are the trees that you can cut down. And it would seems to be speaking that if you need the wood, or if you need the wood, either for personal purposes or for the purposes of the war, or merely to destroy the surroundings in order to punish the enemy. Now, first we have to explain the ramifications, the basic ramifications, and the basic halacha. But these halachas are brought in the Mishnah and in the Gemara in Baba Kama and Perek HaChevel, the Tzarekom and Beis, and the Rambam brings them in Hilchis Malachim, Perek Vav, Halacha Ches, and onward. And to quote a few halachas from the Rambam, he writes, En keitzitzin ilone maicho shechutz lemedina, you're not allowed to cut down, to chop down fruit trees outside of the city, vein meini mehem amasamayim, and you're not allowed to to dam up the water, the canals which go to them, in order kedeshi yofshu, in order that they should die. Shinemar leisashki says eitzo, as it states in the Torah, that you shall not cut down these trees, because it's leker. And whoever does, he transgresses a negative commandment, and he would be chayav malchus. He would get lashes, like the halacha is for a negative commandment. Now, the Torah is speaking here during the time of war. The Rambam, again, what the Rambam is drawing these halachas from the Gemara, which I mentioned, Leber Motzer Bilvad. Not only referring to a time of war, ela b'chol markam, but all of the time. The kol haketzitz ilon maichel derech hashchoser leker, that whoever cuts down a fruit tree in a way in which it's destructive, then he transgresses this negative commandment, and he's chayav malchus, and he would get lashes from the bezdin. And then the Rambam goes further. V'leyo ilones bilvad. And it's not only referring to trees. Elakolam mishabekeli. But whoever breaks vessels, v'kerei abegodim, or tears clothing, v'hades binyan, or destroys buildings, or seisemayun, or he dams up a well, or a spring, or a canal, u'ma'abed macholes, or he destroys food, derech hashkoso, in a way in which it's destructive, eva b'leis hashkis, then he would be transgressing this negative commandment of leis hashkis. Now, hashkoso means destructive. So therefore the Gemara says that this is referring only when you do it in a destructive manner. But if you're doing it in a constructive manner, then one would be allowed. And this is what the Rambam brings now. He brings for example, if you have a fruit tree and it's causing damage to other trees. Well, the Gemara brings a case where I believe it was Shmuel that his gardener brought him some pomegranates, and he ate the pomegranates and he tasted a strong taste of wine in it, and he asked his gardener why. So he said, because it's become entwined in the vineyard. So Shmuel ordered him to cut it down because it says it's sapping from the vineyard. If you're doing it for a constructive purpose, for example, the trees become they become a threat or damage to other things, or for example your trees are overhanging your boundary and they're causing problems by your next door neighbor, or the roots are causing problems, or for example you want to build something and then in the way and that the building is more important, or for example its wood becomes more valuable than its fruits, then it's permissible. Le'osfer Torah el derech hashkosa, because since the Torah said le'sashkis, and hashkosa means to destroy, you're not allowed to destroy a tree or similar to that in a destructive manner. But for constructive reasons, then you could. This is the difference between exploitation and utilization. So from here we see that the environment was given to the person to utilize, but not to exploit. Utilization, yes. To use it in a constructive manner. But hashkoso, to exploit it, in where the sum total is a destructive manner, this is forbidden, and this is a negative commandment. Incidentally, a negative commandment is a negative commandment. There would be no difference with this than eating something which is not kosher or other such negative commandments. Now, the chinuch in mitzvah tov kuf chof tes brings this. And he says that we are commanded not to destroy anything, levatola, if there is not a good purpose in it. And this is what the Gemara always refers to in many places, which we will quote a number of them. Boko'avar mishum baltashkis. One is not allowed to do this because baltashkis, it says in the Torah, lo sashkis. Then he brings the basic reason, without going into too much depth, he says, "Kedei lelamed nafshenu le'av atov v'ata'elis." This is in order that a person should learn to love what is good in the world. And through this, tidbak bono atova, he himself, if you learn to love what is good in the world, you yourself will become good. And narchik mikol davara, or mikol davar ashkoso, and to distance oneself from something which is bad and evil, and from something which is mere destruction. This is always the way of the righteous. Oavim sholom usmechim betuv habrius. They loved peace, and they would always try to bring joy and goodness to the creations. Umokorvin esam la Torah, and to bring them close to Torah. And they were loyabdu afilu gargel shochagel bayu. And they would be careful not to waste even one grain of a mustard seed without purpose. And it would cause them great anguish whenever they would see any destruction, levatola, any waste which was purposeless. And if they could save anything from destruction, Yatzilu koldomer mehashchis b'chol keichem, they would go to the greatest extreme in order to save everything possible. V'leikein harashoyim, this is not the way of the wicked. Achayim shel mazikim, who are known as the mazikim, smeichim b'ashkosos olam, they take great joy in the destruction of the world. V'hem ha'mashkisim es atzvam, and they destroy themselves also. Because b'mida shem odem meided bo meided in lay, because a person is treated by heaven the same way he treats others. I once had a friend in the yeshiva who told me that a Zayde was a very, very righteous person. And he told me that a Zayde used to tell him, he says, to waste one match for no reason is a great aveira. For a good purpose, then you must use everything that's at your disposal. But for no purpose, even one match is a great aveira. And this is what the chinuch brings. This was the derech hasidim. If you look at the rishoyim, at the goyim, they loved war. War is the greatest mashkis, greatest destruction to the world is war. People speak. You have the environmentalists who want to say that the world is not capable of supporting life, and therefore we should practice birth control and cut down on populations and so forth and so on. And there's never been such ridiculous statement made. I mean, it was just proven otherwise recently when China, not many years ago, that had the greatest population in the world, talking about billions and billions of people, when they got their act together, they produced enough food, not only for their own country, but for export. But this said, there are problems in places, like they'll talk about this, starvation in Mozambique, there was starvation in Ethiopia, and in these other places. This is because they themselves have done what they could to destroy the world. The greatest destroyer of the world is war, when you bring out endless resources for the world and you use it levatola. You use it for no meaningful purpose other than to destroy the world. Do you know how much natural resources, how much tonnage of steel goes into an aircraft carrier, and what is that used for? That's used to destroy the world. And how much steel goes into all of the metal, all of the rockets and the cannons and the airplanes, and how much oil. And this is used to destroy the world and to leave rot at the bottom of the sea to pollute the seas. That's besides the greed of man, to take whatever he can at all expenses. So when you hear we are all for saving the environment, this is what the Torah is telling us here. But when you hear the Goyim talk about the environment, tell them to stop their wars first. Actually, someone did, there was recently, it was in Burundi or Ethiopia, was fighting a war, and it was brought up that they're fighting a war with their neighbors, and they're spending millions and millions of dollars on arms, and meanwhile, the whole population is starving. Wouldn't it be better to put that use into the land to grow food for the people? This was brought up then. So, take with a grain of salt what the Goyim talk about environment. Because there's been endless wars from the Goyim since the world was created, the day the world was created. At any rate, this is the basic meaning of Baltashkis. To help clarify a few more halachas on this, the Gemara tells us that even when we want to do a mitzvah, we also have to keep in mind Baltashkis. Many people do think that if you're doing a mitzvah, then everything is allowed. Not so. When we do a mitzvah also, we also have to be careful and put limitations on it. For example, the Gemara brings in Baba Kama and the Tzarek Aleph Amen Beis. Sanjo Mikarin Alameis Vele Midarke Amori. There was a custom today when there's a halacha that when you hear that a close relative, immediate family dies, heaven forbid, you have to tear kriya. You have to tear your garment. But there was a general custom to tear one's garment as a sign of tsar, as a sign of anguish, suffering, or to break something. And this was also amongst the nations of the world too. So the Gemara says, Mekarin alameis, you're allowed to, velemi darke amori, if you do it for the mitzvah. Omer Blezer, Shemati, Shemakare alameis, yesemidai. Blezer says, but I have heard that someone who tears at the time someone dies, yesemidai, more than necessary, leker, he gets malchus, mishum leisashkis, because it's baltashkis. It's wanton destruction. The Rambam brings in on this halacha, he brings in Perek Dalet. Firstly, he brings in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Avelus. Aloch Aleph and Beis. Bringing the customs of Klal Yisrael, what to do with their dead. He's speaking about how you prepare the dead for burial and how you bury them. And then he says, O Malbishin Eishai, Tachrichin Tefurin Bechut Shel Pishtan Levonim. You clothe the dead in a very simple, white garment. But it should not be expensive. And the Chachomim, it was their custom to see that they were buried in something which was very, very inexpensive. Because by the Goyim, and this existed by Yisrael also, they would take very expensive clothing, silks, royalties, and they would cover the dead with them. The Chachomim were against this. One of the basic reasons was Shalei Levayish is Mishein Lai, in order that someone who couldn't afford such a thing should not be put to embarrassment. But then the Rambam brings Also likfor b'tachrichin shel meshi. One is not allowed to bury the dead in very, very expensive silks, ubegodim azuovim, and in golden garments. Afidel nosi shebi Israel, even to a prince in Israel. Shizeu gasus ruach. It's arrogance, b'hashchosa, and it's wanting destruction, because you're taking expensive garments and you're putting them in the ground to rot. Umaisa akum. This is the ways of the idolaters. So, even when we're doing a mitzvah to honor the dead, or a person of great stature, there has to be a limit on it. Otherwise, the Rambam says it's ashkoso. It's wanton destruction of something which is good, to take that and put it in the ground. Then the Rambam brings in Hilchos Avelos Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Chof Beis. There's a halacha. There was a custom by the nations that when they would bury someone, they would take some expensive vessels, or they would take some things and throw them into the grave, again as their sign of their anguish and their sorrow. So the halacha is kol hakelim shizorken al hameis al hamito anigvoris imay asurim b'hano shle ischalfu b'tachrichim. The halacha is that if something was thrown into the grave as a sign of sorrow, then it becomes, one is forbidden to use it, to go and take it and use it, because the Chachomim said it becomes like tachrichim, it becomes like the garment of the dead. The garment of the dead, one is not allowed to take any benefit from. What happens if a person is burying a parent, heaven forbid, and he's full of anguish and sorrow, and to show that, he starts to take expensive kelim and throw it into the grave? Mitzvah al achedim la'atzilom. It's a mitzvah on others to try to prevent him, and to try to prevent the kelim, the vessels, from going into the grave where they will become forbidden to benefit from. But once they reach the casket, no, then you can't do anything. But we must teach people that they should not be a chablon. They should not go and waste things. Even though he's doing it for a mitzvah, he's doing it to show that how broken up he is and how close to he was to his parents or someone very important. Melamdines or odom, you teach a person that he should not destroy wantonly. He should not take nice vessels and to destroy it by throwing, by yashlichem lechavola, and throw them into the grave to just for wanton destruction. Mutav lesitam laniyam. If he wants to do something, let him better give it to the poor. Val yashlichom lerima v'tolas, instead of throwing it into a place that it'll end up by the the worms and the creatures that crawl there. V'chol amar bekelim al hameis, and whoever does so is eva b'leisashkis. He transgresses this negative commandment of leisashkis. So we see that even when we do a mitzvah, you can't just say it's a mitzvah, you're allowed. The seichel still must prevail. And there has to be limitations. And the Rambam says, you want to do a mitzvah, give it to the aniyim, it's a greater mitzvah. Give it to the poor, who will have benefit from it. This way it'll be the worms and the rodents, they will be the ones who will have benefit from it. Further, the Gemara brings in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara is discussing the mitzvah of Kibur Av Em, that you shall honor your father and mother. So the Gemara says, how far must one go to honor his father and mother? So the Gemara answers, Sholes Reb Lezer asked, Arhechon Kibur Av Em, how far must one go to honor his father and mother? Omalehem. So he said, they asked Reb Lezer. So Reb Lezer said to his Talmidim, Kidei sheyitol arneki v'yizrakenu liyam b'fono v'enam achlimai. even if he will take a pocketbook full of gold and silver and throw it into the sea in front of you, you are not allowed to embarrass your father and mother or shame him. In other words, you have a father or mother who in their old age they're not 100%, and they'll take a pocketbook and throw it into the sea. You're not allowed to shame them. You still have to show them kovod. Now the Gemara brings Rav Huna decided to test his son. Evidently he wanted to teach his son this halacha, so he decided to test his son. He'll do something in front of his son that'll make his son get awful upset, and he'll see that if his son gets angry at him or not, and then he'll be able to know where his son is and test him and train him. So he took korashiroi. He took some very expensive silks and he tore them in front of his son. So the Gemara asks, how could he do such a thing? If his son will get angry and start shouting at his father for doing such a thing, so then he was Evelif Naiver. He caused his son to do an Aveira. He caused his son to shout at his father. So the Gemara says, the Mochle Likre. No. He was prepared to waive his honor. So therefore, if his son would become angry and yell at him, he wouldn't transgress, he wouldn't be angry at anything, because the father has waived his honor. Moses Vokovim Mishum Baltashkis. But how can he do such a thing? He's transgressing Baltashkis, he's taking these expensive silks and he's tearing them. What it says, the overlay bipubaino. What he did is that he was careful to tear it at the seam. See, evidently he did it in a way where his son would not see this, so he tore it at a seam where it could easily be re-sewn. But why did the Gemara ask? He was doing this for a mitzvah. He was going to train his son. So you see that even when we do something with Shei Mitzvah, there are also the limitations that we cannot just go and destroy things with wanton destruction. Another example, when we were learning Chulin, I said this year, and my son Reb David reminded me of this right at the beginning of Masechta Chulin. The first mission of Masechta Chulin states, Akol Sheikhti, Bikulin Shishochtu Vachirim Reinei Son, Akol Sheikhti, Kulan Shishokhtu Vachirim Reinei Son, Shkitos and Kshero. Kulan, everyone who shechts, and the Gemara says this includes a cherishet of a cotton, even a cotton. A cotton is someone who's under bar mitzvah. If there's someone who's watching the shechita to see that it was done properly, then it's kshedin, then it's kosher. But it says it in a way of the eved, only if he did it. The kulan shishochtu, but not lechatchila, not that you can do this in the first instance. The Rishonim asked, why not? If someone is watching, why can't you have a cotton shecht in the first instance? If you have a godel, an adult, who is a mumcha, who knows how to shecht, watch him. He can see if it's a good shkita or not. So why don't you do it in the first instance? It's only if it was done. And the Rishonim grappled with this problem. And there are different opinions. The Rabban says differently. He says, and this is talking, why should someone want a cotton to shecht? He's training him. His father's a shechet. He wants to teach his son how to be a shechet. So he starts to train him. The Rabban says it's because if he's not a godel yet, if he's not an adult, so then it's going to be commonplace that there'll be many shechitas that are not kosher. And you'll be able baltashchis, and then that's wanton destruction. See, to take an animal and to make an avail out of it, this is wanton destruction.
take an animal, make it kosher, this is utilization of it. But once you make an avail out of it, you have, even if you could, you feed it to your animals or do something else, you have decreased the value of it. So therefore, you want to train a cotton, but not at the expense of destruction. So there we have another example. So we see that this halacha is, even if one is thinks that he might be doing mitzvah with it, more mitzvah, he's also got to keep this in mind. We find also this halacha relates not only to possessions or material possessions or the environment, but it relates also to, even more so, to one's own self. The Gemara brings in Perek HaChevel on Daf Tzadik Omid Beis, the Gemara says, HaChevel be'atzmai, one is not allowed to inflict a wound in oneself because of baltashkis. Some people feel that to yourself you can do what you want. Not allowed to injure oneself. If you would injure oneself, there's a number of negative commandments involved, but one will be baltashkis. Then the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chof Tes, Gemara says, Omer Bechir Barabi Nomer Shmuel. This is a statement from Shmuel, who Shmuel, besides being a great Amira, a great rabbi of the Gemara, he also was a Refe. He was a doctor. And Shmuel said that on the day when one is Makis Dam, it was a common practice in those days where people periodically would go to let blood. And this was considered to be very, very healthy. Incidentally, there have been recent publications on this, where again it appears that there are very, very good, strong benefits to the person in this. At any rate, this was something which was common. They would go to be Makis Dam. So Shmuel would tell the people that on such a day when you went and let Dam, you must be very careful, because the body lost a lot of blood, and therefore you have to take precautions. Those people who donate blood today should take heed. So what kind of precautions do you have to take? So he says, Hikis dam v'nit stanin. If you feel cold afterwards on that day, you must eisin le madura afil betkufet tamash. That you must light a fire in the fireplace, even in Tammuz. Tammuz is the hottest month in the northern hemisphere. Even if it's 100 degrees outside, Fahrenheit, or 40 centigrade, if you're shivering and you feel cold, he says immediately you must light a fire to warm yourself up. I once discussed this with a doctor, and he told me absolutely, he said, because the body could go into a state of shock. Then it brings that Shmuel, one day, Shmuel was Makis Dam, and he became cold, so he went to light a fire, and there was no wood, so he took a piece of furniture and put it in the fireplace. Tzochele taptako, dishago. Rabbi Yehuda tzachele petura, diyona. And then the Gemara brings other such cases, where in such an instance, they went and they would take a piece of furniture or something and put it in the fireplace if they didn't have wood. So the Omele Abaya Rabavokovar Mar Mishum Baltashkis. And Abaya asked him, but you've been transgressing the negative commandment of Baltashkis, of wanton destruction. Omele Baltashkis the Gufe Odifli. He answered the destruction of the human body takes precedence, is a greater destruction than the destruction of material resources. So therefore, for sure, you're allowed to destroy even a nice piece of furniture for this, rather than have an injury happen to the body. Incidentally, Shmuel also taught the people that on a day that you go and you let blood, you have to make sure that you eat a good healthy meal on that day, which will help replace the blood that you lost. And if necessary, even sell the shoes that you own in order to get a good healthy meal. And then Shmuel said, what should you eat? So Rav said boser, and Shmuel said yain. See, one said meat and the other said either meat or wine. Why? Because boser nafshei cholev nafshei, because meat has a lot of blood in it and it helps to produce more blood. You have just lost quite a bit of blood. And Shmuel says, Yain sumke cholav sumke. This is very interesting. He said, Yain sumke cholav sumke. You should drink red wine because red wine replaces blood. This I've once heard from doctors. That there was the theory that red wine is very good. Red wine or red grapes, very good to produce good blood. So that's what he said. Yain sumke cholav sumke, red wine, or it would be perhaps red grapes also, will replace red blood. See, actually, in the Loshon Anach, it states dam in the Torah itself, dam anovim. The wine was referred to as the blood of the grapes. This is one Gemara. Now there's another Gemara in this vein, and this is also Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis. Kuf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara brings Omer Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, "Hai man de efshle le meichel nahama de saari, the ochel de chiti kovim mishum bal tashchis." If a person can manage to get along on bread which is made from barley, but he's insistent all of the time to eat bread that's made from wheat, so he transgresses baltashkis, because he's destroying the wheat unnecessarily. And then the Papa said something similar. If a person is able to get along drinking shecher, shecher is beer, shecher is a drink which is made from grains, that would be beer, and instead he drinks wine, he transgresses Baal Tashkis because he can get along without it. And the Gemara refutes this. Gemara says, Lav Milsihi, no, this is not true. It's not right. Why? Because Baal Tashkis the Gufa Odif. Because you are not allowed to save material resources at the expense of the body. Since when a person eats bread from wheat, is better than bread, better healthy, it's more healthy for the body than from barley, then if it's available, if he can afford it, he must eat bread from wheat. And since wine is more healthy for the body than beer, if he can afford it, then he must eat wine. And it's not Baal Tashkis, because Baal Tashkis the Gufei Odif, because one, it's, we must be concerned about Baal Tashkis, but we have to get our priorities right. And then the Gemara says even further. The Gemara brings in Baba Kama in the Sukkah, where the Gemara says, there the Gemara is speaking about inflicting an injury on oneself. We just find it. Omer Blezer HaKofer, Berebi. The Nozir, Nazirite, why does it say that he has to bring an atonement for what he did to himself? What did he do to himself? The Chiba Ezer Nefesh Chota. Ela Shetzir Atzme Min Ayayin. Because he abstained from wine for so long. And when he abstained from wine, there's one thing to abstain from pleasures or luxuries, or unnecessary pleasures or luxuries. But when one abstains from wine for so long, he's abstaining from something, and the Gemara, wine was a very, very important, healthy drink. So he is causing himself anguish. So he's abstaining from something that the body needs. And if he does that, he's nikra chayta. He's called a chayta, he's a sinner. And therefore, even though he did a mitzvah, he became a nozer, but at the end he has to bring a kapora, he has to bring an atonement. So the Gemara says here, "Umaze shaleit siras atzmi elamin ayayin nikrachaita mitzar atzmi b'kol domer." Now he only abstained from one thing. What about a person that sits and fasts? Even if he fasts for a mitzvah, but meanwhile he's been mashkis gufa, he's injuring his body. That's why it's brought in Hilchos Tainis, whenever one fasts, that's only where there's no injury to the person. Many times fasts are very healthy. Today the health people tell you that. But that's only where there's no injury to the body. Unless it's a fast like Yom Kippur. But where there's an injury to a body, then we're not allowed to fast. So these are some of this. It helps to broaden the understanding of this mitzvah Bal Tashchis, some of its the halachic ramifications. As I mentioned, though, that there are very deep principles involved. Now, some of them we've mentioned, but there's even one that's of greater depth, and that's what the Maral Miprag brings. Actually, this Bal Tashchis represents an ideology, a philosophy of a whole, an entire outlook towards life. The Gemara brings in Masechta Brochas in Ketzad Mavorchim Daf Lamed Hei Omer Aleph Toner Abonen Ose Lo'odim Shiyanu Min Ha'ilam Hazeh B'lei Brocha. That a person is not allowed to take any pleasure from this world without first a brocha. That's why that before we eat anything, we make a brocha. And whoever partakes from anything in this world before a brocha, he's mo'al. Mo'al mi'ila, that's the same if you'll take something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, to the sanctuary, and you use it for personal use, there'll be what is known as me'ila. It's a very severe aveira. And then the Gemara says further, whoever takes anything from this world without a brocha, he's nena mikotshi shemayim, and areza gezel, he's stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's this, as if he's stealing from Hegdish, the Beis HaMikdash of heaven. So the Gemara says, so why then can we partake? So the Gemara says, kan kodem ha-brocha, kan adcha ha-brocha. After the brocha you can partake. But before the brocha you can't. So the Maral asked a very good question. I mean, if it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if it's like you're taking from his world, and you're taking from the Beis HaMikdash, so what does the brocha do? So why does it become permissible through a brocha? What is it? How has that changed the situation? And in this he answers, because we find that something that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, you were allowed to take it if you brought a pigeon, if you redeemed it. For example, something became Kodesh and belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, if you redeemed it with money, So it would be zeh tamura zeh lezeh. One would be in exchange for the other. The money would go to the Beis HaMikdash, and that would become Kodesh. And meanwhile, the other would be Yotze L'chulin. The other would come out of the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, and it could become yours. So the bracha is a tamura. The bracha is an exchange. Then he asks a question, but we find that whenever you made the pigeon has to be of greater value than the item. Actually, you had to add a fifth, that if something became hegdish and now you wanted to redeem it, you had to give the Beis HaMikdash its value plus over here. Are you giving more than its value? He says, you certainly are. Why? Two questions. First of all, why is this a pigeon? How could this be an exchange? And secondly, why is it more of a value? And in this he says something very deep. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the whole world. What was the purpose of the creation of the world? So on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that everything I created, Kol Masha Barosi, Barosi Lichvaydi, everything I created for my honor. Tihilosai Isaperu, I created, and with all of the royal splendor, what does he have it for? For his honor. Kolmashe Brosi, whatever I created for my honor. And Klal Yisrael's Tihilosi Yisaperu, they sing songs of praise and honor to me. How does the world give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Anyone with eyes and seichel can see how the world gives honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are millions upon millions of creatures in the world that he created. But it's not millions. And it's not billions. And it's not hundreds of billions. But it's billions of billions. This is something that astronomers have found out today. That there are not a million stars, and there are not a billion stars, but billions of stars. And each star could be larger than our earth. Where is the space to hold all of that? The Chazal compared the stars of the heavens to the grains of sands of the sea. They were not just talking. There could be as many stars in the heavens as grains of sands of the sea. Now this is one little facet of the world. But the whole world is full. Yes, you have the Rishoyim, the evil. You have idolaters. As children we used to laugh. How could they build a statue and believe that that statue created the world? Yet you have the same idiots today, the evolutionists, the billions upon billions of billions of stars, each one as large as the earth, created themselves, and they run themselves. There's billions upon billions of cells in the human being, and each cell communicates with each other. Now, this we could talk on endless. It's infinite. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole world shouts out praise to him. And therefore, if someone comes and takes from that, or destroys it, they say, Moal. As if he's destroying from, taking from his Beis HaMikdash. He's stealing from him. But that's Kedem HaBrocha. That's before the Brocha. What? After the Brocha? He's permitted. Why? Because it's an exchange. Because you're exchanging one praise for the other. You take something from this world that praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in its place, you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the bracha is. It's like someone who comes and he takes a candlestick from a king, but he puts in its place another candlestick. But then we ask that whenever you took something from the Beis HaMikdash, if you took something that you could make a pidyon for, redeem it. You have to redeem it with a greater value. The Maral says, for sure it's a greater value. Who can sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu better? The trees, the birds, the insects, the fish, or the human being? The human being is the Nifchar Shebinivroim, Tzelem Elokim. But the whole world has, he has. If there are billions upon billions of stars in the world, he has billions upon billions of cells in his makeup. So who can give praises better? They or him? He? He can. So therefore, if he gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's allowed to take that in exchange from the place. L'mahadomadome, what is this similar to? You walk into a palace, and the king has a beautiful, beautiful silver candelabra. You take it, and you replace it with a golden candelabra. Can anyone have any complaints? So therefore, kan kodem abrocha, kan acha abrocha. And the Gemara says, but someone who doesn't do this, it calls him a mashchis. Chover li'ish machis, mashchis. He is a mashchis, he is a destroyer. And the Maral brings here, he says that actually, wanton destruction is worse than theft. From one perspective. Why? Because if you steal something, you can always give it back. It's still there. If you destroy something, you can never give it back. And the same thing when you take something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you use it, if you used it for his praise, then this is what it was created for. But if you use it for your own greed and not for his praise, you have destroyed. It's like he built a world with uncountable candles, each one giving light. You have destroyed it. This is the Mashchis. Now, when we said, unfortunately, people look at Leisashchis, it's from the little mitzvahs. We don't hear people talk about it. We hear people talk about kashrus. We hear people talk about tefillin, we hear people talk about tzitzis, and we hear people carry on with matzah, all important mitzvahs. You ever hear anybody talk about baltashchis? But even one crumb, to take one piece of bread, I remember the old Jews, to waste a piece of bread. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that for his praise. If you're going to make a broch on it, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve him, that's better than the bread. You're adding to his world. But if you're going to take the piece of bread, or the egg, or whatever it might be, and destroy it, you're taking something from his wonderful, unbelievable world, and you have extinguished it. That's mal behegdish. That's like coming into the king's palace and extinguishing one of his candles in a chandelier. That's a very, very grave sin. So that's why what we're saying here is this is not just a simple mitzvah. This is an ideology to the way a Jew looks at life. The whole world was given to him. And therefore, we emphatically disagree with those environmentalists who claim you must not use this, you must not use this, you cannot use fur coats because you have to kill the animal for the fur. You can't use seal skin because you have to kill the seal for the skin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the seal skin because he wanted a world of seals. He didn't want a world of animals either. He created it all for his honor. And if the human being can use it and give HaKadosh Baruch Hu more honor, then this is elevating what he created. But on the other hand, to those environmentalists who say that the world must be treated with respect. It's Klal Yisrael taught this to the world. And the Torah taught this to the world. Al Tashchis, Meisashchis, Eitzov, do not hurt the tree unless there's a constructive purpose in it. This represents a whole attitude and ideology towards life and towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So this is an explanation in this mitzvah of Leisashkis.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.